beginning with, but going to end tonight by talking about how God still reveals himself. And the Lord sometimes reveals himself through dreams. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. I had a vivid dream last night. I may have time to share it with you some tonight. Somebody left a silver-like hoop earring. Anybody? Silver-like hoop earring. That's John's. Amen. I'm going to leave it up here on the Lord's Supper table. It's kind of a silver rope pattern, about the size of a quarter, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't have a post to it. It's got a little, lever thing. I don't know. You ladies, if it's yours, come get that dude. Amen? Amen. We got any praises or testimonies tonight before we begin? Yes, ma'am.
Well, we have a couple birthdays. I know one
tomorrow
for Blake.
Oh, Blake. All right, Stephanie's is Tuesday. Amen, birthday people. Oh, we've got to sing happy birthday. Blake, how old are you going to be, son? Woo, 15. Stephanie, how old are you going to be? She's going to be 46. 46. I could say that because I'm already 50. I'm already over it. Amen. Once you hit 50, who cares anymore? I mean, who cares? So Stephanie, she's still in that 40 club. But she's closing in on the big 50. All right, let's sing to them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Many more. All right. Very good. Any other praises or testimonies? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, amen. Amen. What church is it? Faith Bridge United Methodist. I know the church. Yeah, I've got one of my classmates is on staff there, used to be on staff there. So, amen. Yes, sir, in the back. That's good praise. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. I have a praise tonight. I praise the Lord for Kenneth Irvine. Amen. Kenneth Irvine, I want to tell you, I wish I would have. The Lord sent him across my path years ago when I came here, and I put that apple cider vinegar thing off. I just put it off and put it off. He kept telling me about it. I finally got to doing that, and I tell you, I have not felt better than I have felt in years. I have not touched an antacid. I have not touched the Pepto. I've not touched any of it in about 4 or 5 days. I've just been doing the apple cider vinegar, man. I want to tell you, it's like a thank you, Jesus, man. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Brother Kenneth, for sticking with the stuff. Amen. Old Brother Kenneth just kept on. Amen. Well, I'm drinking about 3 times a day, but yeah, those other medications that you get over the counter, so many side effects with them, and I just had to get away from it. So I tell you what, I'm loving it. All right, any other praise? Yes, sir, in the back. Amen. Yeah. 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 No big support group. Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. It's a good word. Amen. All right. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Ron and John for lunch. Amen. All right. Okay. Amen. Way to go, Ron and John. One more. Okay. Yeah. Oh, amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. That's good. And we ain't M&Ms. That's right. M&Ms are good talking about Jesus. Amen. That's right. Especially when you're three, right? Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to, I'm so used to saying the gospel of, but we're in the book of Revelation tonight. Revelation chapter 1. We kick this thing off. I'm assuming it's going to take us over a year to get through the balance of this, maybe longer. It took us well over a year to get through the Gospel of Mark. There are 22 chapters in this last book of the Bible, so we may, maybe a year and a half, maybe close to 2 years, but we'll get on through it. Amen? We'll get on through it. It'll be good, good, good. Revelation chapter 1, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. I'm only going to get through about part of verse 1 tonight. But again, I told you we would start slow because we've got a lot of background and this book kind of ties it all together and we don't want to leave anything unturned. It's just like when we went through the Gospel of Mark, man, we covered every bit of that book, even those last verses that talk about how in some manuscripts they're not in it. I mean, we even covered those verses and saw that they were good for the edification of the soul and the building of the church. Amen? So Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show to His bond servants," well, there that is again, "the things which must soon take place. And He sent and communicated it by His angel to His bond servant John, who testified to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us tonight, that, Lord, we would drink of your Holy Scripture tonight, Lord, that you would build us up, you would convict us where we need to be convicted, you would help us get past sin patterns and sin issues, Lord, as we really close out this last Sunday of the beginning of a new year. God, let us start this year off right. Let us start it off good and holy and righteous. Lord, let us start it with keeping short sin accounts, and let us start it being in your Word on a daily basis and being in prayer. Pray without ceasing, God. Let us be that people. Let us be that Christian. Let us be that church. May we be known as a house of prayer. We love you tonight, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for our salvation. We always are eternally grateful for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that covers our sin, that makes a way for us tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have a cell phone tonight, you might want to put it on low or silent or turn it off or airplane mode or there you go. Amen. All right. Very good. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. When we think about the book of Revelation as a whole, as we look at it in an introductory fashion, the late British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, he once described the former Soviet Union. He said this about the former Soviet Union. He said, "A riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. And many Christians view the book of Revelation in much the same way. There's a bewildered to it. We're bewildered by the book's mystifying symbolism, and we're bewildered by the striking imagery. And many believers, including some pastors, never preach through Revelation. Many Christians and many pastors avoid serious study of the book. I was once one of those pastors. And let me just say, getting to preach through this book, because it's a privilege and an honor to get to preach through any book, but getting to preach through this book, being led of the Holy Spirit to take up this book, is a milestone. I mean, it is a milestone for this ministry that God has called me to, this gospel ministry that He's called me to the task of. It is a milestone and a great honor to get to do it. When we think about the great theologians that have come before us, the great reformers that we stand on the shoulders of, even John Calvin, who lived in the 16th century from 1509 to 1564, one of the greatest commentators of the Reformation, who wrote commentaries on other books of the Bible, he did not attempt to write a commentary on Revelation. Revelation, though, is God's Word. Revelation, the book, it begs to be preached. And if we will not look at it, if we will not read it, if we will not study it, that short-sightedness of not preaching through it and studying it, it deprives the preacher, and it deprives the people of the blessings that the book promises to those who diligently study it and adhere to it. Amen? So as we think about the first six verses of the first chapter, many people are fascinated and even obsessed with the future. I mean, they're really future-minded. I mean, they're always trying to figure out what's coming next. Now, I've been in church life for 20-something years now, and I'm really not exposed to this much, but many people outside of these four walls, many lost people, hopefully not many saved people here, but many faithfully lost people still read their horoscope. They still get in on the horoscope. In fact, according to a study, this study blew my mind. I mean, it literally blew me away. According to a study in 2016, listen to this, 58% of 18 to 24-year-old Americans believe astrology, which is the horoscope nonsense, believe astrology is scientific. Wow! Some still seek out tarot card readers. Others still have their palms read. And then there are the many psychic hotlines, and I guess today they are better known as psychic chat lines. You know, you just get on there and chat. You don't even have to call anymore. Some delve into the occult, seeking out mediums. We've been studying in 1 Samuel. King Saul did that after he rounded up all the priests and the priestesses and the mediums. He then went and found one he hadn't rounded up and sought her. But the occult, they seek out these mediums, futilely and sinfully attempting to obtain information about what is to come. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 reads, "When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God?" Amen. Should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? And let me just be real honest with you. The dead, of course, cannot respond to such efforts of contact. But let me tell you who's waiting in the wings to make you think there's something being spoke. That is the demonic. And demons do masquerade as the dead, and they do propagate lies. As we think about these first six verses of this first chapter of the book of Revelation, all such attempts to discern the future are in vain. Friend, there is only one who knows and declares the future. His name is God. Only in Scripture can truth about the future be found. The Old Testament prophets, particularly Isaiah, coupled with Ezekiel and going into Daniel and Zechariah. They provide glimpses of the future, and so did our Lord in His Olivet Discourse provide glimpses of the future, along with Peter and Paul in their inspired writings. But the book of Revelation provides the most detailed look into the future in all of Scripture. I mean, it is the bomb diggity when it comes to telling the future. The fitting capstone of God's revelation to man in the Bible, the book of Revelation, it unveils, there is an unveiling of the future history of the world all the way to history's climax in the return of Christ, His second coming. He's on His way, and the setting up of His glorious earthly and eternal kingdom. That's what's coming in the book of Revelation, and that's what's coming for the world. Amen? By way of introduction, John, our Revelation author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under way of introduction, John lists, he gives us 11 characteristics of the marvelous book. And tonight we're going to begin covering those 11. The first one is its essential nature. Look at verse 1, the very first part of it. It says, the revelation. It doesn't say a revelation. It doesn't just say revelation. It says the definitive revelation. Definite article, the revelation. Amen? It's the essential nature of the book. These two words, the revelation, are essential to understanding this book. Many people are confused by the book of Revelation. They view it as mysterious. They look at it as bizarre. They look at it as I can't make it out. It's indecipherable. I can't decipher it. Remember the rings you used to get and you decipher the back of the cereal box? Am I dating myself? Yeah, okay. Well, it's like I don't have the ring and I can't make it out. It's indecipherable. It's an indecipherable mystery. People look at the book of Revelation and say that. But nothing could be further from the truth. Far from hiding the truth, the book of Revelation reveals the truth. Amen? The book is the last chapter in God's story of the redemption of humanity. It is the great conclusion. As the account of creation in the beginning was not vague or obscure, but clear, so God has given a detail. He's given a lucid, He's given a clear report of the ending. And I want you to think about that for a moment. We serve a God. We worship a God that has spoke with precision, that has spoke with clarity from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. The Greek word for revelation is apokalypsis. Apokalypsis, revelation in our English. In the Greek, it's apokalypsis. It appears 18 times in the New Testament. And every time it is used, it is always used of a person with the meaning to become visible. The person is to become visible, basically, is what I'm saying. Listen how Simon praised God for the infant Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 32. It says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon exalted that the Messiah had been made visible to man. He was beside himself in the temple. Man, he got his worship on. Amen? Holding the baby Jesus. Listen to how Paul spoke of the transformation of believers in glory. That's me and you. The transformation of believers in glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing, of the sons of God. That's me and you, man. Amen? Both Paul and Peter use this Greek apokalypsis revelation to refer to the revelation of Christ at His second coming. He's going to be revealed then again. The book of Revelation contains truths that had been concealed, but now have been revealed. This last book, we think about all 22 chapters, This last book nowhere directly quotes the Old Testament. However, 278 of the book's 404 verses refer to or allude to Old Testament prophetic truth, thus amplifying what was initially revealed in the Old Testament. Now, the apocalypse, the revelation here, reveals a great many divine truths. The first one is this: it warns the church of the danger of sin, and it instructs the church about the need for holiness. Amen? It instructs us for the need for holiness. Number two, the revelation, the book, it reveals the strength Christ and believers have to overcome Satan and the demonic. Amen? Number three, the apocalypse, it reveals a great many divine truths. Number three, it reveals the glory and majesty of God and depicts the reverent worship that constantly attends His throne. Isn't that going to be great? Amen? To experience that and see that worship that constantly attends His throne. The apocalypse reveals a great many divine truths. It reveals the end of human history, including the final political setup of the world. The career of the Antichrist is going to play out in the climactic battle of Harmageddon. We call it Armageddon, but it's pronounced Harmageddon is going to play out. The apocalypse reveals a great many divine truths. Fifthly, it reveals the coming glory of Christ's earthly reign during what is called the millennial kingdom. It reveals the great white throne judgment. It depicts the eternal bliss of the new heaven and the new earth. The apocalypse, it reveals a great many divine truths. It reveals the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ over all human and demonic opposition. But that's not all. The apocalypse reveals a great many divine truths. The book of Revelation describes the ultimate defeat of Satan, the ultimate defeat of sin, and the final state of the wicked. It is eternal torment in a place, a literal place called hell. And it also reveals the eternal, righteous joy that believers will have in heaven. Amen? In short, this last book of the Bible is a front page story of the future of the world written by someone who has seen it all. The Apostle John. Amen? So as we tie all of those revelatory features together, the book of Revelation, it reveals the majesty. It reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes in detail the events associated with His second coming, revealing His glory that will one day blaze forth as strikingly and unmistakably as lightning flashing in a darkened sky. I'm reminded of Matthew 24, verse 27. It says, the Word of God, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west. Haven't you seen a lightning storm like that before, where the lightning just, shoom, it jumps across the sky and you hear that crack of thunder as it goes across? I want to tell you, just as it does that, the Word of God says, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen? It's essential nature of the revelation. Secondly tonight, its central theme. Its central theme. Well, what in the world is the central theme of the book of Revelation? Well, let's look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? When we think about all of Scripture, how many books in the Bible? 66, man. Well, we think of all of the Scripture, all the books of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Jude. All other books of the Bible, all of these books, they're revelation from God. Per 2 Timothy 3:16. It's all inspired, amen? It's all God-breathed. In a unique way, the book of Revelation is the revelation, though, of Jesus Christ. While the book is certainly revelation from Jesus Christ, this book is also revelation about Jesus Christ. Now, we just finished the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospels are beautiful, and the Gospels are amazing. And I'm always praying, I'm always asking, God, when do I get to preach through another Gospel? Because I've preached through one, but there's three more to preach through. I really want to preach through John. God led me to preach through Mark. Am I going to get to John? Lord, are you going to lead me to preach through John? Probably Matthew, but I mean, there's Luke, but there's three more to preach through. I love the Gospels, amen? I love the Gospels. The Gospels are also about Jesus Christ, but they present Jesus how? How do the Gospels present Jesus? The Gospels present Jesus in His first coming, His first time here, which is about His humiliation, which is about His death on the cross. Amen? That's how the Gospels presenting. So then how does the book of Revelation present Jesus? Well, part of it is the judge. Jesus is coming the second time. Amen? They present Jesus coming the second time. The last book presents Jesus coming and exaltation. Humiliation the first time, exaltation the second time. And every vision, every description of Him in Revelation is one of majesty. Jesus is majestic. Every vision, every description of Him is about Jesus in power. Jesus is all-powerful in the book of Revelation. Man, when we get to the book of Revelation and we see the visions of Jesus, it's Jesus in His glory. Amen? That's what's coming for us as we go through the book. A glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we see the central theme unveiled as we get into these first verses, as we get into this first chapter. The central theme is unveiled. Christ's unveiling is going to begin as soon as verses 5 through verse 20 in chapter 1. And we read verse 5 and 6 here this evening, where Jesus is revealed in His ascended majesty. He's at the right hand. Those verses also provide a preview of His second coming in glory. In chapters 2 and 3, Christ is unveiled as exalted Lord of the church. He reproves the church. He encourages His church. And finally, chapters 4, all the way through the end of the book, verses 22, unveil a detailed look at Jesus' second coming, the establishing of His millennial kingdom, during which He will personally reign on earth, and the ushering in of what is called the eternal state. Amen? W.A. Criswell, a longtime pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, from Oklahoma, as a matter of fact, Wally Amos was, a good friend of mine, just retired from the pastorate. He was 40 years at one church, Old River Baptist Church in the Dayton, Old River area. But W.A. Criswell outlasted him 10 years. W.A. Criswell, 50 years at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, he gave the following explanation as to why Christ must yet be revealed in glory. Listen to it. He said, the first time our Lord came into this world, He came in the veil of our flesh. His deity was covered over with His manhood. His Godhead was hidden by His humanity. Just once in a while did His deity shine through, as on the Mount of Transfiguration or as in His miraculous works. But most of the time, the glory, the majesty, the deity, the wonder, and the marvel of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Wally Amos says, were veiled. These attributes were covered over in flesh in our humanity. He writes, He was born in a stable. He grew up in poverty. He knew what it was to hunger and thirst. He was buffeted and beaten and bruised. He was crucified and raised up as a felon before the scoffing gaze of the whole earth. The last time that this world saw Jesus was when it saw Him hanging in shame, misery, and anguish upon the cross. He goes on to say that He'd later appeared to a few of His believing disciples. But the last time that this unbelieving world ever saw Jesus was when it saw Him die. When it saw Him die as a malefactor, as a criminal crucified on a Roman cross. That was part of the plan of God. A part of the immeasurable, illimitable grace and love of our Lord. You tell me where this verse is found and I'll give you an amen. By His stripes we are healed. What's the address? Isaiah, give me the chapter and verse. 53:5. Way to go, Carol. By His stripes we are healed. But Wally Amos goes on to say, he says, but then is that all the world is ever to see of our Savior? Dying in shame on a cross? Wally Amos, I don't know if you've ever seen him. You need to Google him or looking him up on YouTube, he was a chunk of a man. He was big old hands, big old body. I can see him taking his massive fist and putting it on that massive pulpit at First Baptist Dallas. But then, is that all the world is ever to see of our Savior dying in shame on a cross? I can see him thundering, "No!" Which is what he would sometimes do. It is also a part of the plan of God that someday this unbelieving, this blaspheming, this godless world shall see the Son of God in His full character, in glory, in majesty, in the full orbed wonder and marvel of His Godhead. Then all men shall look upon Him as Jesus really is. Amen? They shall see Him holding in His hands the title deed to the universe above us, the title deed in the universe around us, the title deed of the universe beneath us, holding this world and its destiny in His pierced and loving hands. Friend, that's the Jesus that's coming back. Even a quick glance through the book of Revelation reveals that Jesus Christ is its main theme. And I share with you 12 of them. He is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Number 2, He is the Alpha and Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Number 3, He is the Almighty, the first and last, the living one. These are all references from the book of Revelation. Number 4, He is the one who holds the 7 stars in His right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. Number 5, He is the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword, the Son of God. Number 6, the one who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like burnished bronze. Number 7, the one who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. Number 8, He is the one who is holy, who is true, the holder of the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. Number 9 says He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Number 10 says He is the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He is the Lamb of God. Number 11, the one who is called faithful and true, the Word of God, the King of kings and Lord of hosts. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is ruling on the earth with His glorified saints. Number 12, He is Jesus, the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The book of Revelation reveals the majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus, reveals it in song. The book of Revelation reveals Him in poetry. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus in symbolism. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus in prophecy. In it, the heavens are opened and its readers see, as did Stephen saw in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, as he's being stoned, as he's lying on the ground about to give up the ghost. Acts 7:56 said, "And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Amen? As I close it out with you tonight, I want to share with you about a dream. A woman by the name of Professor Mary Poplin from Claremont Graduate School says she met Jesus in a dream. You know, Jesus is still about revealing Himself. Amen? At the time she was teaching, listen to this, she was teaching at Claremont Graduate School. She was teaching radical feminism. She was teaching multiculturalism. And she was teaching the dirge of the earth called postmodernism. That's what she was teaching. She was a devotee of New Age spirituality. She claimed she was the poster child for spiritual but not religious. She writes, "A central image in my life was the New Age actress Shirley MacLaine." How many of you remember that gal? Amen, Shirley MacLaine, yeah. "A central image in my life was the New Age actress Shirley MacLaine, dancing on the beach in free-spirited fashion. I was seeking happiness, self-fulfillment, and freedom from restraint, all the while deluding myself about my own goodness. We were children of the 60s, products of the I'm okay, you're okay culture." I'm okay, you're okay culture. She goes on to write, and yet in certain moments, she said, I could see glimpses of who I really was. I was not growing freer. My heart was growing harder. My emotions were growing darker, and my mind was growing more confused. Then in 1992, she had an unshakable dream in which she saw Jesus at the Last Supper. When I got to Jesus, she wrote, and looked into his eyes, I grasped immediately that every cell in my body was filled with filth. Every cell in my body was filled with filth. Weeping, I fell at his feet. But when he reached over and touched my shoulders, I suddenly felt perfect peace. She reached out to a friend who suggested that she needed to read the Bible. Amen? You need to get in some truth, sister. So then in January of 1993, she was sitting in a small church, and she received an invitation to come forward. And she prayed as part of her salvation prayer. Not all of her prayer, but part of it. She says, if you're real, please come and get me. She said she suddenly felt the same peace that she had known in the dream. To clean up my soul, she said, God taught me what a good friend of mine calls the bar of soap passage, 1 John 1:9. But forgiveness wasn't always easy to accept. She said, I had undergone 2 abortions, and over 3 long years of prayer, I doubted whether God had truly forgiven me. So listen to the lie out of the pit of hell some counselors tried to give her, and even some fellow Christians. Some counselors and fellow Christians had encouraged me to forgive myself. That sounds so lost as a goose, doesn't it? You just need to forgive yourself. She said, but the more I searched Scripture, the more confident I was that forgiveness could only come as God's gift. Amen? Forgiveness could only come as God's gift. Like Paul, I had to learn to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Amen? She's quoting Philippians 3:13 through 14. The Word of God reads, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to be studying in the coming weeks this great book called the Revelation. But friend, Jesus is not through revealing himself to those that are lost. You say, Pastor, do you believe Jesus reveals himself through dreams? I believe Jesus uses whatever Jesus wants to use to reveal himself. Amen? Amen? Praise God for the Christian sister that told her to get into the Word of God. Amen? That's where she needed to get after she got bit with a little Jesus bug. Get on into the Word of God, and that'll help you what? That'll help you solidify it all. Amen? And then she didn't really count that dream as salvific. She counted that prayer as salvific. Amen? Coming to that church, being a part of that invitation, reaching out, allowing God to come into her life. We're going to have a time of invitation, and this is really what it's about. Jesus uses his word. Jesus uses his church. And Jesus uses you to reveal himself to a lost and dying world. If you're not quite sure how God would want to use you, how God would want to use you with his word, how God would want to use you with his word in his church, how God would want to use you with his word in his church and outside of this church, and how to reveal himself to others, you might want to come try to pray it through tonight and get some leading from the Holy Spirit. Because friend, if you're sitting here saved tonight, you've been called. If you're sitting here saved tonight, you've been set apart. If you're sitting here saved tonight, you have a purpose. If you're sitting here saved tonight, you've got a mission. If you're sitting here saved tonight, praise God, you got breath in your lungs, and He's wanting to use you sometime tomorrow or this coming week. So pray it through. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can gather again in Your name as we kick off a great study in this book of Revelation. Lord, we've gotten through 2 out of 11. We pray that You help us on through all these 11 characteristics, the very beginning of this book. And Lord, we want to be equipped in it. We want to be focused on it. But Lord, we don't want to forget that it's just Your Bible that reveals You. Lord, You use us to reveal You. We are instruments in Your hand. We are tools in Your toolbox. We are Your hand and feet as You are at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, help us shoulder that responsibility and help us accept that assignment and help us look at it as a privilege, not as a burden. And Lord, may we seek to reveal You this coming week. May we seek to have people see Christ in us and hear Jesus out of us. May we just exude the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus this coming week. In spite of everything that happens to us, in spite of the negative consequences, in spite of the things that come against us, Lord, may we respond. May we respond like Christ and reveal You to a lost and dying world. Help us be the Jesus, the only Jesus that some of this old lost and dying world is ever going to see. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Miss Karen's going to play tonight. You come. The altars are open. We'll not tarry it long, but You come. Amen. Thank you, Miss Karen. All right, characteristic number 1, it's nature, right? The revelation. Characteristic number 2, its theme, Jesus Christ. Amen. Its nature, the revelation, its theme, Jesus Christ. Make sense? That's easy. Amen. So let's close it out with a word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. Dear Jesus, we come to You again, Lord. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You again for our salvation. Lord, we pray for safety as we depart this place. And Lord, let the church be on mission for Your glory and honor until we meet again. Lord, thank You for the combined spiritual giftedness that's represented in this body. And Lord, use their gifts, use their God-given talents this week. Use their compassion and their grace Use their peace. Lord, use their words. Use everything that you want to use of them, God, to reveal yourself to those that are outside these four walls that so desperately need a touch from Christ. Thank you, God, that somebody was faithful, somebody was obedient, and touched us with the gospel, exposed us to Jesus, drew the net so that we could pray, so that we could place our faith and trust in you. Lord, may we do that in turn for others. Thank you tonight, Lord, for a good day, a beautiful day, and Lord, we look forward to another week serving you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed.